Well, it's Easter, and that means that I'm going to speak on the resurrection of Christ. It's been an honor, you know, for me to speak on our Lord's resurrection. Oh, gosh, probably 20 years in a row I've been speaking on this, and it never gets old, because it is the climax of history. The resurrection of our Lord is the high point of all history, when Jesus Christ came alive. He was dead, and he came alive. And so today we're going to look at that, and I'm going to actually share a message, really different angle than I've ever taken. I see this kind of as a continuation from Elliot's message. So last Sunday was Palm Sunday. I don't know where Elliot is. He's always serving. He's doing something. But he did a great job, didn't he? Yeah. Elliot did an awesome job. He spoke on Palm Sunday. And he, if you guys remember what Elliot shared, he talked about how when our Lord entered into Jerusalem, that many people were unable to really celebrate him because they were blinded by false expectations. Do you recall that? So they thought Christ was going to come as the conquering king that would throw off the oppression of their Roman overlords and set them free militarily to be a separate nation. But Christ was coming for a far different plan. He was coming to conquer not the Romans, but Satan. He was coming to conquer death. And so when he entered into Jerusalem, many people didn't understand that or perceive it because they had the false expectations. And we're going to look at a post-resurrection story today that is quite similar. And this is a story of Christ that took place on a road called the Emmaus Road. And I want to put up a picture here. I've been thinking about this icon all week. Let me throw that up if you guys could find it. Let me turn this down. Can you see that? Or it's a little bright. Can you see it or no? Let me see if I can. Wait. There. Is that better? All right. Awesome. So, don't go to sleep now. Got the lights down. Hopefully this will be good. Keep you awake. But I've been really thinking about this image all week. And so this is from the Gospel of Luke in chapter 24 that we're going to look at today. And this is this happened after our Lord had been raised from the dead. And it's a very unique story. So these two men are walking on a road, which is called the Emmaus Road, and they encounter Christ. And they enter into this really lengthy dialogue with the Lord, but they don't recognize him. They don't see who he is. And you'll see later in the story, I love how there's just so much about this image I like. I like the building behind them. That is a picture of the home, because you'll see as we read the passage in Luke today that they invite Christ into their home. And that's crucial to understanding the Emmaus Road and what happened to these men. And you can see how they're grabbing Jesus. See, the man's got his arm around him. Come, please, come stay with us. Come into our home. You're going to understand what that is. I think it's interesting in the bottom lower right of that how there's that little plant there. And that just to me is such a beautiful metaphor of the seed of the gospel. You know, Jesus told us about the sower that plants seeds, and sometimes these seeds fall on good soil, and they begin to sprout up, and they bear fruit. And I see that as a beautiful metaphor of the seeds of the gospel that are being planted. But anyway, this is the Emmaus Road. I'm going to leave that up as I share. And if you want to read along with me, we're going to look in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 24. If you don't have your Bible, that's fine. You can pull it on your phone or just listen. I'll read it to you. But we're going to take this passage slowly. Is that okay? A couple verses at a time. There's so much in here that I think God wants to say to you and to me. Lord Jesus Christ, I pray that you will speak to our hearts. And I ask that as you met with the men on the road to Emmaus, that you will meet with us this morning. I pray that in this place and in this time, will be an instrumental moment in our Emmaus Road as well. I ask that you'll anoint me with your spirit to speak your word, and we ask it in Christ's name. Amen. Amen. Okay, so let's start in verse 13 of chapter 24. Behold, two of them were going that very day to a village named Emmaus, which was about 7 miles from Jerusalem. And they were talking with each other about all these things that had taken place. So stop for a second. So they're talking about all these things that had taken place. They're talking about the crucifixion, the betrayal of Christ. All of Jerusalem was in uproar. Everybody knew what had happened, and they're discussing it. Verse 15, while they were talking and discussing, Jesus himself approached, and he began traveling with them. Hey, guys, and he starts walking with them. But their eyes were prevented from recognizing him. We're going to stop there for just a moment. Verse 16 is very interesting. Their eyes were prevented from recognizing him. Now, there's a lot of different interpretations of this. Some interpreters will say, well, these men couldn't recognize Jesus because he was in a different form, a post-resurrection form. I don't think that's correct, because you can see in the scriptures there's other times when Jesus appeared to the disciples and they immediately recognized him. And so unless you say, well, maybe Jesus was playing this trick of like, poof, you know what I mean? Now you can't see me, now you can, which is more like a Greek god type of thing, which of course is not our Lord. And I don't agree with that. I don't think he was like tricking them with a different form. Why couldn't they recognize him? Well, I mean, some people would say that God had just closed their eyes and so they couldn't see him, that God had prevented them from seeing him. And certainly that could be a part of it. You know, it might have something to do with it. But we know that God at times has closed the eyes of people. He's hardened hearts. But I think there's more to it. I think, as I alluded to earlier, I think that they were unable to recognize Christ because they expected something different would happen. They had faulty expectations, and they couldn't even recognize the one that was in their midst. And this is really important. These men, they had to go down this Emmaus road to come to supernatural faith. There was no other way for them. If they were going to truly come to a place of supernatural faith, faith that will go the distance, faith that will even allow a man or woman to be martyred for our Lord, real faith, they had to travel down the Emmaus road. And here's the main point of my sermon this morning. I'm going to make a main point and then several observations, okay? Here's my main point. You also have an Emmaus road, and you must walk down it. There's no other way to supernatural faith. And the Emmaus road for me is a metaphor of my spiritual journey and your spiritual journey as well. And you need to know that your Emmaus road is going to be marked by confusion, just like these men were confused. It's going to be marked by unmet expectations. It's going to have skeptical questions. You're going to have doubts on the Emmaus road. And you're even going to have pain on the Emmaus road. But you have to walk down it. And so here's observation number one about this story that I thought of this week. Number one, when you walk down this road, even though it's confusing and painful, you have to remember who is walking with you, even if you don't recognize it at times. Christ is on that road, even though you don't see him and know he's there. These two men were walking with the risen Jesus, and they didn't know it. It reminds me of a story when I was a new convert. So I was like these men for many years. I was on the Emmaus Road, and I had come to Christ when I was 18, and I had received a revelation of God. And so fast forward 2 years, I'm with my best friend, Chris Norman, and we are going to the University of Michigan. We're trying to get into U of M. So we were transferring here because my grades, shall we say, were a bit subpar to get into U of M from high school. I was on the Emmaus Road, and it was marked with a lot of beer and other things. And this is water, by the way. So that was weird as I took that sip right when I said that. That's water. So thought I'd tell them. But so I was on the Emmaus Road. I came to Christ. And I started witnessing to all of my friends, and Chris had come to faith. My best friend had also received Christ when he was on his Emmaus Road in Europe, backpacking through Europe, trying to find himself, hair down to the middle of his back, searching all different philosophies and religions, and he had a revelation of Christ as well. And here we are, it's 1990, we're trying to get into U of M, so we're coming here to spy out the land and talk to one of the academic counselors. So we take the trip, we come here, we talk to them, and we go back. It's the next weekend, and I was out with him, and I was a new Christian. I was still I was a work in progress, and I still am, and we all are. And so the story I'm about to share with you now is not an endorsement of what I was doing, okay, because it involves drugs. So I'm not endorsing this lifestyle, but I'm just trying to be honest with you and make the point of how Christ is with us even when we don't recognize it. So it's the next weekend post U of M. I'm with my buddy, and we're out, and he had wanted to take a really bad drug called LSD, which it is terrible, but he wanted to do it, and so I did it with him. We had done it before. I had done it before many times. So we take this drug, and it, you know, it's crazy and stupid or whatever, and we couldn't sleep. And so we're up all night, of course, and it's like 6 or 7 a.m., and the sun is rising, and I'm sitting on the curb with Chris, and we're in front of Dwight's house, which was another one of my best friends. And we were talking about God, because I knew, you know, the Holy Spirit was convicting me to leave that lifestyle, but I was just trapped, you know what I'm saying? Like, I was in it, and I was trying to come out, and so I'm trying to explain to my buddy how awesome Christ is. And so I start crying. I just literally, like, start sobbing, not out of pain, but out of joy of the revelation that God had given me that I truly know the truth. I found Christ. And I'm telling him, and he's like, well, this is God. And I said, that's what I've been trying to tell you. I'm like, this is God. This is what I'm talking about. And then we started talking about our trip to U of M. Okay, you'll see where I'm going here in a minute. I know you're trying to follow, connect the dots. You'll get them. And I said, and somehow it came up about our trip to U of M the prior weekend. I said, it was so crazy how, you know, we went there with, who was with us? I'm like, there was a third person. He goes, yeah, who was? Wait, Dwight didn't go with us, so Dwight came, didn't he? No. Yeah, he did. And we realized, no, Dwight didn't come. And we're sitting there trying to figure out who it was, and we looked at each other's eyes, and in that moment we said, it was Christ. And start crying together. And so Christ was with us on that trip, though we didn't recognize him. And though these men were on the road with the risen Christ, they didn't know it was him, he was there. And so the first observation I'm making from this is, on your Emmaus road, in your struggle, in your doubts, your questions, your sin, he's with you, even though you may not know it. And then the Lord goes on and says this. Let's look at the scriptures again. In verse 17, it gets really good here. This is amazing. Jesus said to them, what are these words that you are exchanging with one another as you're walking? And they stood still, looking sad. One of them, named Cleopas, answered and said to him, are you the only one visiting Jerusalem and unaware of the things which have happened here in these days? Now, how do I know they spoke with that kind of emotion? Well, I don't know. They're kind of emotional there. And how do they know what it was like in the icon? I don't know. But I see them as very emotional men. And as you go on in the story, you'll see they're very aggressive with the Lord. So when I read this, I see them being very aggressive. Like, how do you not know? Are you the only one? And then how ironic, right? So this is Christ who was just crucified and buried and raised from the dead, and they're accusing him of not knowing what happened. And I love how the Lord just works with them. In verse 19, he says, what things? Just quizzes them. And they said to him, the things about Jesus, the Nazarene, who was a prophet, mighty in deed and word, in the sight of God and all the people, and how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be sentenced to death, and they crucified him. Now, these men were in a state of deep emotional pain, and they couldn't believe that this stranger had no clue of what had happened, and they couldn't understand that. And here's observation number two from this passage. As you walk down your Emmaus road, you may at times falsely assume that the Lord is unaware of the pain and the confusion you're experiencing. But he's not. He's aware. These men certainly had questions like, God, why did you let this happen? How could this happen? Christ was going to destroy the Romans. Christ was going to be the anointed leader. Christ was going to usher in the kingdom. How did this happen? And when you walk down your Emmaus road, I'm telling you, there's going to be doubts and questions. And this is a huge, huge stumbling block in our world today. When I talk about the Lord with people, I hear this so often, you know, if God was real, then why did this happen? If God is real, then why is there suffering in the world? If what you're saying is true, then why fill in the blank, right? Over and over and over again. Questions on the Emmaus Road, questioning God, not understanding. And when you have these concerns, bring them to Christ. You've got to go down this Emmaus Road. There's no other way to revelation. You can get off the road and try to go through the wooded area and say, oh, this feels better. Now I don't have the doubts. This is particularly true for those that were raised in the church. Because for those of you that were raised in the church, very often it's difficult to question. You feel guilty about it. You feel like you shouldn't question anything. And what you're doing is leaving the road. You got to get back on the road. There's no way to supernatural faith apart from the Emmaus Road. You have to bring your questions, your concerns, your doubts, and just boldly communicate those to our Lord. And that's what these men were doing. Look at another problem they faced in verse 21. They said this to Jesus, but we were hoping that it was he who was going to redeem Israel. Indeed, besides all of this, it is the third day since these things have happened. We don't have to spend a lot of time on this because I think I've already hammered this. Therein is the reason why they couldn't see him. We had hoped that this would happen. You see, false hopes, false expectations. What these men wanted to happen didn't happen, and therefore it's now blinding them from seeing the Christ. There's a lot of false assumptions about Jesus today that you may have to wrestle with, and your friends on campus, your coworkers. I'm telling you, I've heard so many. Like, well, Jesus, here's some false assumptions that people make. Jesus is a good moral teacher. Yeah, he is a good moral teacher, great moral teacher, but he's more than that. Jesus is a prophet. This is what the men on the Emmaus Road said. Certainly, he is a prophet, but he's more than that. There's even, I've heard these false expectations or false reading of history. Jesus, who never really died on the cross. He just hung there and used Eastern meditative practices to slow his breathing and his heart. And then when he was taken off the cross, he had never really died, and he just recovered somehow. I've heard that. These are questions on the Emmaus Road that people have. There's the Islamic version of Jesus. He was never crucified. You know, it was really Judas on the cross. God did a little tricked you, got you. And it wasn't really Jesus. He never died on the cross. There's the heretical Da Vinci Code Jesus. Jesus who the early disciples never really believed was God, and that's just a construction of the church. And Jesus was married to Mary Magdalene, had children. It's another false expectation. This is what I think Jesus should be. All these questions are real, and people have them right now in your generation. And if they're going to come to supernatural faith, they must go down this road. They must deal with the questions. Look at verse 22 through 28. The Bible says this, but also some women among us amazed us. So here the men are now talking to Jesus and saying, this is what we've heard happened. They say, we heard some women and they amazed us. They went to the tomb early in the morning and they did not find the body. They came saying that they had seen a vision of angels who said that he was alive. Some of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just exactly as the women also had said. But him they did not see. Jesus said to them, O foolish men, slow of heart to believe in all the prophets have spoken, was it not necessary for the Christ to suffer these things and to enter into his glory? Then beginning with Moses and with all the prophets, he explained to them the things concerning himself in all the scriptures. And they approached the village where they were going, and he acted as though he were going farther. Okay, observation number four. These men are trying to connect the dots. They're hurt. They're disillusioned. They've seen a lot. And they're saying, well, these women said they went to the tomb, but the tomb was empty. We don't understand it. They said they saw angels, but Jesus was crucified, and he was buried, but he was going to be the king that was going to usher in the new glory of Israel. And we don't get it. So listen, here's observation number four. Human reason, disconnected from supernatural faith, will never reveal the Christ. Human reason is important, and in some ways I believe that Christians are the only ones remaining that actually still use reason. I mean that not arrogantly, by looking at what's being taught to your generation. That's not reason. It's certainly not logic, and it's certainly not natural law. So I'm not opposed to reason, and Christianity has never been opposed to reason. We value reason. But these men attempting to use reason apart from faith would never bring them to know who Christ is. It supernatural faith brings revelation. It can be in conjunction with reason, but it has to be faith. Now, verse 28 is very interesting, this part of the story. And when I look at this image, I see this as really a picture of verses 28 through 32. Let's read it together. And they approached the village where they were going, and Jesus acted as though he were going farther. I love that. He acted like he was going farther. He was testing them. He acted like he's going farther. Good to talk to you. And look what they did. But they urged him, saying, "Stay with us, for it is getting toward evening, and the day is now nearly over." So he went in to stay with them. When he had reclined at the table with them, he took the bread and he blessed it. And breaking it, he began giving it to them. Then their eyes were opened and they recognized him, and he vanished from their sight. They said to one another, "Were not our hearts burning within us while he was speaking to us on that road, while he was explaining the scripture to us?" Let's look at the second image here, if we could put that up. I love this picture for so many reasons. This, of course, is the picture of Christ breaking the bread and distributing it to these men, and it's at that moment that they finally come to supernatural faith. I love how the artist used the color of paint on the robe of our Lord. It does a wonderful job, doesn't it, of just showing the supernatural character of who Christ is. Now they see. See, their eyes are being opened now, and they're seeing him for who he really is. I love the bright halo. This is the resurrected Savior. Ah, now we see it. Amazing. I even, kind of just to be funny, I even like the little monk bald spot on the guy on the left. That's pretty cool. I'm kind of making my way there, but it's going slow, thankfully. But yeah, you know, I mean, it's just, hey, pulling no punches. Of course, it's in the house. You can see the structure there, the table where they're breaking bread. Just beautiful. Now, here's my observation. This is my fifth observation that I take from this passage. At some point on your Emmaus road, you have to invite Christ into the metaphorical house of your heart by opening the front door of your life and truly asking him to come in. Only then will you put yourself in a position to receive a supernatural revelation. I was walking down my road, just like you. I was 18. I opened the scriptures, and I was desperate. I was in pain. I was hurting. I didn't know where to turn. I had looked at many different philosophies and religions, and I was confused, man. I was like these men, totally confused. And I opened up the scriptures, and I read the Gospel of Matthew, and I invited Christ into the home of my heart, and I truly searched with all my heart. And I saw him glowing. I saw him. I had a revelation of who Christ is for the first time. And so on your Emmaus road, you're going to have to open the front door and let him in. And I want you to do that today. You know, I know many of you have done that. Many of you in here have a deep faith in Christ. And I thank God for that. I'm so grateful for your faith. Some of you in here might be at different parts of the Emmaus Road. It's okay. You got to travel it, guys. Don't fake it. I've seen way too many Christians walking down the Emmaus Road pretending that they're not on it. You know, it's like you see them, they're like, hallelujah, how are you doing? Everything's always great. Praise the Lord. God is good, you know. Yes, God is good. But yet, they've got tons of doubts, questions. Is he really who he said he was? Don't pretend. Just be on this road. Walk down it. He's walking with you. You can even touch him like those men did. It didn't scare him. They grabbed right onto him. He was probably glad they did it. Grab onto him. Wrestle. Figure out who is this one. Who is this person they call the Son of God? And if you haven't fully done that, today would be a great day to open your heart. You're not going to understand everything about him. Let me tell you, it's been 30 years and I'm just starting to get glimpses of his glory, and I will for all eternity. But this could be the start. It could be an amazing start where you could say, I'm going to bring him into my house today. I'm going to open the door and say, come in. I don't know what this means. Not sure what's going to happen when he breaks that bread, but I want him in. I want him in the door. I want him in my house. So I want to pray for you.